Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
You may please be seated. Hallelujah. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Two people said amen. Longevity is a blessing from God. And I see no reason, if God is offering it, why you don't want it. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. He said his eyes were not dim, neither was his natural force abated. His strength, his physical strength did not diminish. You will not be weak in the name of Jesus. And your eyes will not go dim in the name of Jesus. And if you have a challenge with your eyes this morning or with your natural strength, maybe you feel very weak. You can't even explain it. Before this service is over, every part of you, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every system, everything in you, including your eyes, will receive strength from the Almighty God who lives big on the inside of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shout a better amen. Amen. Don't waste prayers in this house. Psalm 119 and verse 144. That's been my text from last Sunday. And I'm glad to press forward this morning, trusting God for speed, so that we can close the service at about 11 thereabouts, so that we can make some time to pray. And please, prayer is for 30 minutes. I want to encourage you. I have done that to encourage you. So I want to encourage you to stay just extra 30 minutes to pray. Don't run away. Would that be good? Thank you very much. Psalm 119 verse 144. The psalmist cried out. He said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and I shall live. The title of this series is, Lord, give me understanding. It's a prayer. It's a heartfelt prayer of a person who is seeking after God and who wants to go the long haul with God. Not someone that wants to walk with God for a short while. When they get a breakthrough, they run away. When they get a little miracle, not knowing there are still more miracles in their future, they stop coming to church. This is someone that wants to go all the way with God. He said, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. It means if I don't have understanding, I'm going to die. If I don't have understanding, I'm going to perish. But I don't want to die. I don't want to perish. I want to live. So he said, give me understanding. Understanding becomes a prerequisite to living. I need it. I want it. I desire it. Give me understanding and I shall live. In Luke 24 and verse 45, Luke 24, 45, the Bible says, now this was Jesus preparing to go to heaven. This happened after the resurrection, after he had resurrected and he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, telling them about the kingdom of God, giving them instructions. Now, they knew him before he went to the cross, before he was crucified. Now, they had another privilege to still be with him for 40 solid days before he went to heaven. And this was one of the last things that he did. After he had spoken to them a whole lot, the Bible says, then opened he their understanding. Why? So that they might understand the scriptures. You see, the scriptures will only be letters to you if the Lord does not open your understanding. They will just be letters. And the devil doesn't mind you cramming letters. That's why you see some people who cram scriptures, they know scriptures in their head. But if you look at the quality of their lives, you can't see the scriptures there. If you look at the way they live their lives, they are defeated constantly by the enemy. Even though they have scriptures in their head. They have scriptures in their head. There are people in... Let me not go there. Amen. Give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and I shall live. That's why Paul the Apostle prayed that prayer for the church at Ephesus. And for all of us by extension. In Ephesians 1 from verse 17. And by the way, I keep counseling, take this prayer every day. Make it part of your daily prayer. That the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Can I have an amen to that? When you pray that prayer daily, one of the things that will begin to happen is that the Holy Spirit will begin to re-engineer your mind. The Holy Spirit has the capacity to work even within your soul if you permit him. If you permit him. The soul is the space that God wants to fill up and the devil also wants to fill up. And it's a battle because whoever has your soul has your life. That's why the psalmist cried out in Psalm, I think it's 124 and verse 7. He said, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. If the snare is not broken, then a Christian can live a captivated life. Even though you are born again, you are still under the captivity of Satan. That's why people live like they are not free. They are oppressed constantly, or constantly oppressed by the devil. If you allow the Holy Spirit, the light will shine from your spirit, will penetrate into your soul. And because your soul is the center of decision making, you'll be making the right decisions and you'll be getting the right results. That's when the snare is broken. The snare is broken and our soul is escaped. You can see a man that's like a giant. If God opens your eyes to see the picture of his soul, he might be like a midget being caged. He's been caged. The soul is where the devil gets us many times. The soul. The soul. The soul can be so sick, it is called depression. Depression is a sickness of the soul. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 42 and verse 5. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. A few verses after, he was reporting his soul to the Lord. He said, Lord, my soul is cast down within me. Can you put that on the screen for me? Oh my God. Next verse. My soul is cast down within me. He was reporting his soul to God. My soul is cast down. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just have a blue morning. You can't explain it. You are just depressed. You are just not happy. You're just sad, forlorn, morose, melancholic, and lugubrious. Overwhelmed. And you can't put your finger on it. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the devil who's trying to depress you and to make you have a very terrible day. And nobody starts a day on that kind of note and winds up having a bright day. And that's what the devil wants to achieve every day. That you wake up very heavy on your bed for no reason. For reasons you cannot explain. There is a working of some evil spirits in the realm of the spirit. And they are ministering sadness to you. They are ministering depression to you. The psalmist had to cry out for help. Lord, my soul is disquieted within me. My soul is cast down. Come on now. Hope in God. Then he began to speak to his soul to remember what God had done before. Because that's one of the surest ways to get out of depression. when you can stop and pause and think about the goodness of God in your life before. Think about the deliverances that God had wrought in your life before. Then the psalmist began to say, in verse 6, he said, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Ammonites from the hill Mizar. I am going to call to remembrance. I am going to call to remembrance. I am going to call to remembrance. To get the fullest package of this, you need to listen to my message titled The Power of Remembering. I think it was a series. That message has the capacity to change your life forever. I've got testimonies upon testimonies from this church. One of the ladies who was in church at that time, I don't know if she's in church this morning, she was trusting God for a visa to go to the UK. She had finished school of nursing early, and then she wanted to go to write an exam. And for some reason, it wasn't working. For some reason, it just wasn't working. Came to church that morning, all depressed and sad. And God's word came, and she followed the instructions of the word. It is not the hearer that is blessed. It is the doer. Some of you come to church every Sunday. Thank God for your life. You come to hear, but you never come to do. In James 1:25, it says, the man that is blessed is the one that is the doer of the work, not the hearer only. In verse 22, it says, don't be a hearer. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you're just a hearer of God's word and a note taker, but you never do what you have written down, you're wasting your time. I don't have a better way to say it, but to let you know the truth, that you're wasting your time. This lady came, did what the word says that day. It was the Holy Spirit, not me. He just used me. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke. And under God, I tell you the truth, I lie not. She even shared her testimony here. She got the visa. I followed the process through when she got to the UK. To the glory of God. The same word preached unto them was preached unto us. But the word did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that had it. The condition of your soul is very important, even in the journey of faith. Your soul, is your soul healthy this morning? Why did I say the condition of your soul is important, even the journey of faith? In 3 John and verse 2, the Bible tells us, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. He said, even as your soul prospers. I wish, one translation says, I pray above all things. Above how many things? Come on, talk to me, church. Above how many things? All right, this is a call and response. Above how many things? Above every other thing. Above all things. That you, number one, may prosper. Number two, your physical health and your mental health. I want you to be in health. It is good to be in health. Sickness is not good. Can I ask you this morning, a little bit of sickness, will it be nice? A little bit of typhoid? A little bit of cerebrospinal meningitis? Come on, talk to me. A little bit of HIV. A little bit of cancer. Just for 2 weeks. Is it nice? He said, I want you to be in health. God is a good God. He said, I want you to be in health. But then he put a condition. Even as your soul prospers. So even in your journey of faith, if your soul is not prospering, you're not going to prosper and be in health. Even though God wants you to prosper and be in health. How does your soul prosper, therefore? When your soul begins to interact with the word of God, when your soul begins to interact with the promises of God, when your soul begins to know what God has for you, your soul begins to prosper. Some souls don't know at all. They don't even know. It will shock you how many people go to church and they don't know the word of God. They don't know God's promises concerning their lives. That's why Proverbs 19 verse 2 says, it is not, he said, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. Read it, everybody. Also, that the soul be without knowledge. Is a little bit good? It is not good. So when your soul doesn't know the promises of God, it is not good. Our pastor said, the apostle said, the bishop said, the pope said, what does Jesus say to you? What does the Bible say to you? What is God saying to you personally concerning your life? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Your soul is very important in this journey. Because spiritual understanding will set you free. My soul. David had to command his soul in Psalm 103 to bless the Lord. Because there are days you wake up and your soul doesn't want to bless the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You have to tell your soul. Because I tell you, that guy called the soul sometimes just wakes up and doesn't want to greet anybody. The soul just want to wake up and just want to hide and be in a cocoon. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to interact with the world. I don't want to have anything to do with anybody. I don't even want to talk to God. What kind of person are you? David had to command the soul in Psalm 103 from verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. It was a command, not a suggestion. Come on, bless the Lord. Praise him, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He went further in verse 2. He commanded again. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because the soul has the propensity, has the tendency to forget. Human beings, our memories can be very short many times. When the going is good, we are very happy. Praise God. When the going is tough, we quickly forget the good times. Isn't that the way we also relate to one another? When somebody does you well, oh, my bestie of life. They put your picture on social media. They celebrate you. Oh, that's my guy. That's my G. That's my babe. But you offend them one day. The good you have done, they will write on water. The mistake that you made, they will engrave in a stone so it can be permanent. That's the nature of human beings, the carnal, the fallen nature of human beings. But Christians are not supposed to be like that. We are supposed to live a better life. We are supposed to have a better memory. He said, remember, remember, forget not. Forget not means remember. How many of his benefits? Come on, talk to me, church. That you can come to church this morning. You were not aided to come. You were not propelled to come. You came by yourself. Can you give God praise this morning? You got up this morning. You took your bath all by yourself. They didn't bath for you. You dressed up all by yourself. Even if they bath for you. Even if they dressed up for you. But you made it to church. You made it to the sanctuary and not the mortuary. Will you give God praise? It's part of your journey of faith. It's part of your journey of faith. You have to talk to your soul. Understanding will transform your soul. Spiritual understanding. It is the reason people do what they do. Understanding. I want to press further this morning by giving you point number two. Point number one that I gave you last week was that why is understanding important? Because what? It determines what people do. Number two this morning. Why is understanding important? It is important because it also determines what you don't do or what people don't do. It determines what you do. Number two, it determines what you don't do. And what I mean by what you don't do, I mean what you're not supposed to do. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. Somebody needs to still hear my message on the soul. Go and get that message. The power of remembering. The power of remembering. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 20, Jeremiah, the writer of Lamentations, wrote, this I recall to mind, then I have hope. Verse 21, sorry. This, in fact, go to verse 20. Because even in verse 20, he was talking about remembering. He said, my soul hath them still in remembrance. My soul remembers and is humbled in me. Then in verse 21, he said, this I recall to mind, then I have hope. There is a connection between remembering the good things that God has done in your life and having hope for the future. Has God ever been good to you? Not really. Oh, not really? Such a person wants to die in depression because you are full of ingratitude. But has God ever been good to you, church? Has he ever delivered you from trouble? Has he ever delivered you from death? Has he, Christiana, you can say yes, sir, because you remember that accident you had years ago. that almost claimed your life, but God stepped in. Even when you didn't know where you were, you opened your eyes and you went to the hospital. One of our sisters had an accident a few days ago as well. She sent me the video. I said, you know what? God has kept you. The devil lost another one. Glory be to God. You must remember. You must remember. Set up your Ebenezer. Set up your Ebenezer. Stone of help. And remember every time, thus far, God has helped us. Thus far, God has helped us. Thus far, God has helped us. When you passed your GCE, it was God. When you made it through JAMB, it was God. You got to admission, it was God. Matriculation was God. Graduation was God. How about your marriage? How is it going to be God? That's what somebody came to church to hear this morning. But I'm going to press on quickly. Number two, people that lack understanding, they can't thank God. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14 and verse 1. That's a big fool. See, there ain't no God. You are a fool, brother. The mouth you used to say that was given to you by God. And if I were God, thank God I'm not God. But I'm a child of God. Glory be to God. Understanding determines what people don't do. Church, when you move close to certain people who love the Lord, certain people who are genuine in their walk with Jesus and who have truly been blessed by the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, you will most certainly observe that there are certain things they don't do. And I'm going somewhere this morning. Somewhere very important. It may shock you that they don't do these things not as a matter of legalism, but out of spiritual understanding. Their choices are not influenced by fear of punishment from God, but by their undying love for God, propelled by spiritual understanding. When you move close to people that are godly, people that fear God, in the days when the fear of God is very scarce in our country, from the pulpit to the pew, and around the world, people mouth Jesus, but their hearts are far from him. But when you go close to someone that is godly, not only will you observe the things they do, you will also begin to observe the things they don't do. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Life is on two wings. You must strike a balance. You can't be too bent to the right or to the left. You have to, for an airplane to keep flying in the air, those wings have to be there. Life is about balance. Okay, I do certain things, I do certain things, I do certain things. If while you are doing certain things and doing certain things and doing certain things, you're also doing certain things and doing certain things and doing certain things, your wings will come down like this. So if this one is going up, going down, this one has to be going up. You have to be intentional. Not only about the things you do. Listen, church. But also about the things you intentionally don't do. Psalm 1 and verse 1. I'm sure you're wondering where I'm going. The very first chapter of the book of Psalms and the very first verse, very instructive. It said, blessed is the man. He didn't start out with what he does. He started out with what he does not do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, number one, nor standeth in the way of sinners, number two, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, number three. After stating the things that he does not do, then he goes to the next verse, verse 2, to now state what he does. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Then verse 3 tells us the consequences of his actions. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Can I have an amen to that? Never forget this psalm in your life. I've taught this before for weeks at the Stone Campus Fellowship UI years ago. It changed my life. When I had my son, my first son, our first baby, and of course the scan had showed us it was going to be a man, it was going to be a boy, of course the boy would grow into a man, I decided that I would name him the very first word I saw in the very first psalm, the very first verse of the very first chapter. Because it says, blessed is the man. So when I saw that God gave me a man, I said, this is the man, blessed. So I named him Blessed. So his name is Tireni Oluwa. Oju Rere Oluwa Rogba Yimika. Chisom, that's his Igbo name. Oluwatomisin. My mom named him Oluwatosin. I said, no, mama, let's edit it a little bit. Oluwatosin is general and generic. I don't know about everybody. I can't speak for everybody. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know I will serve the Lord. So, Oluwatomisin. Oluwatomisin, yo. This Jesus that I know is enough for me. And then I gave him the name Blessed. So I call him Blessed. And when the sister came a couple of years down the line, I named her Prosper, among other names. So Blessed, Prosper. Blessed, Prosper. Blessed, your name is a confession. That's why we don't name our children Wood. Brown. Green. Your name is a confession. What are they calling you? I saw in the word of God, blessed is the man. And he came out as a man. I said, that's it. Blessed. Amen. Someone said, oh, but blessed is not a noun. Well, that's as far as you are concerned, your use of English. As far as I am concerned, I saw it as a name. Blessed is the man. And this is the man. He's blessed. Amen. Glory be to God. So why not blessing? Or why not blessedness? Blessed. Oh, but blessed doesn't really not, doesn't look like a noun. It looks like an adjective, and it could also serve as a verb. Well, that's how much you know. What you don't know, you don't know. Let's not lose sight of this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know he didn't say in the counsel of the unholy? He said counsel of the ungodly. Any counsel that is less than God's best for you is the counsel of the ungodly. And you will maintain your blessing by not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Any counsel that is not godly is called the counsel of the ungodly. Let me give you an example. I've had people say, you know, when you want to get married, ensure the lady is pregnant before you get married, before you pay the marital vows. Why? Because you never know. Some ladies may be beautiful, but they may not have the capacity to produce a child. So get her pregnant first, all right, and then pay the bride price. That counsel is from the pit of hell. It is the counsel of the ungodly. Can I have an amen? Amen. People are so afraid of witches and wizards. If they are so powerful that they can prevent your wife from getting pregnant, if you don't touch her and you get married, and they can prevent her from getting pregnant, I tell you, they can also be so, they are so powerful that even if she gets pregnant before marriage, they can suck the pregnancy out, suck it dry, if they are that powerful. I went to name a baby, one of our couples in the Expression House who got married and they joined this church, they love this church. I went to name the baby on Friday morning. And the guy stood up and was sharing his testimony. By the way, they're having dedication this morning, so I'm going to hurry up. The guy said, people began to tell them when the wife was pregnant. They lost the first pregnancy, a very long story. The lady came from a background where her elder sisters, one of them had been married for 12 years. I met the two of them on Friday, and I had to pray with them. 12 years, no issue, no child. The second one, married for 8 years, no child. And you know how the devil likes to disgrace us, especially pastors. Because the second one married a pastor. And they're doing ministry, you know, no state. And, you know, the devil just likes to disgrace people. But he is a liar. Because, you see, when there is a delay, there is a child that is coming. Who is the child of promise? Can I have an amen? So when she lost the first pregnancy, it looked as though the devil was winning. The two of them believed God again. Boom, she got pregnant again. One of the Sunday services, they were in church. And as I was preaching, I came down here. And the Holy Spirit said to me to call them to pray for them. I didn't know anything going on. The Lord is my witness. And I just said, Brother Daniel, you and your wife come over here. Let me pray. Some of you were in church that day. You remember? Do you remember? Glory to God. So I'm not a false prophet. So they came. And I blessed them. The Lord told me there was something. I didn't know the fullness, but I needed to bless them. So I blessed them. I didn't know God was using me to seal that blessing because Satan was going to steal it again. I didn't know the lady was already pregnant the second time. No visible signs of pregnancy. They went back to their seat. After service, they came to see me and they told me that actually there had been a battle ongoing and that she was pregnant again the second time. I said, no, this one, God has sealed it. So I put my hand on the baby and I commanded, baby, you'll carry this one to town and you will come. Man, you need to see that girl. Such a beautiful girl. I held down Friday. I love to hold miracles. Even God knows me, Fred Elebe, I love to hold miracles. The devil is the bad devil. The guy said while the wife was pregnant the second time, people started giving all kinds of counsel. When your wife is going out in the afternoon, if she has to go out in the afternoon, please let her put a pin on her dress. Please let her carry a stone around. Let her do this, let her do that. And I sat there looking at him. I wanted him to finish the story. And he said, to the glory of God, because of the church we attend and the word of God that we are exposed to, we did none of those things. Are you happy? Because doing those things will mean walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So a pin can prevent witches and wizards from sucking pregnancy. A pin. People lack understanding. Witches and wizards operate in the realm of the spirit. Pin is in the material realm. The spiritual realm is more powerful than the material realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? If they could come in the night and afflict you, is it a pin? Carry a stone. Why stone? Because in case the devil shows up and sees a stone with you, he will run away. The devil, afraid of stone? Don't you know some people that normally travel somewhere every year, they go and throw stone at the devil, they die. Many people die out of stampede. The devil likes it. Come, stone me. And they die. They end up dying. The devil is still living. Until his time comes. Because you are dealing with the spirit here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Bribe your way so you can get that job. That's the counsel of the ungodly. Sleep with that lecturer so you can graduate. That's the counsel of the ungodly. I would rather not have it and stay with my Jesus. And let me tell you, those who have staked their lives for Jesus, Jesus always shows up for them. We are not careful to answer you in this matter, O King. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And let me tell you, if not so, that if you change your mind, we will not bow before your golden image. Did God show up for them or not? The counsel of the ungodly was for them to bow down before a graven image. These guys were serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were taken exile into a strange land, and the strange land wanted them to bow before their own, before the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, I've been told, nobody is going to pray. Nobody should ask anything from any other God for the next 30 days. You pray to any other God, you go to the lion's den. Counsel of the ungodly. Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel went back home that day from work. He opened his window towards Jerusalem. Shebi was closing his window to pray before. Now he opened. He knelt down. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He prayed out loud. The people that were monitoring him were recording the songs. They said, well done. Carry on. If there were days of smartphones, they would have taken their iPhone 16 Pro Max. Oh, sorry. iPhone 25 Pro Max. And they would have captured every moment. And they would go and present before the king. And said, Live long, O King. The Daniel that you love, the Daniel that you love, has flouted your order. Daniel knew, even though they didn't have the Bible like we have it now. Just the laws of Moses. That was all they had access to. But part of the law was that thou shall not bow down to any other image except the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. And you shall love him with all your heart and your mind and your strength. That was the counsel of the godly. The counsel of the ungodly was to look up to another man and make him God. And for the next 30 days, if you have a prayer request, you ask from the man and not from God. Blessed is the man that does not put his trust in the arm of the flesh, because the arm of the flesh will fail. Isaiah 2:22, seize ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for what can he be accounted of? Kai. Daniel prayed. I will pray. Daniel prayed. And guess what? They took him and put him in the lion's den. Don't think lion's den is a joke. Have you ever been in a cage with a Rottweiler? Have you ever fought with an Alsatian? Just the barking alone sends some shivers down your spines. My uncle used to have one back in the day, late Professor Elegbe. He had one in his house. He had an Alsatian. One day, my father sent me to go and see him Sunday afternoon. And I got to their house, number 3, Amore Street, Bodija. And I was bouncing as a young guy, bouncing. I wanted to bounce into the house. As I moved close to the gate, I wanted to just bounce in. Normally, I should press the bell. I didn't press the bell. As I bounced very close to the gate, I heard a chain break every chain. Break every chain, break every heat. The chain was moving as I was moving close to the gate, like just open and let me meet you. And when an Alsatian like that meets you, you are met. Are you getting what I'm saying? I heard the chain dragging on the floor. I put one hand on the gate. I heard a growl. I said, glory be to God. I put my gear in reverse. As I put my gear in reverse, the guy knew I had gone back. Then the guy now showed his head from the fence. One back. Whoa. I said, all right, you are here. I respect you. I will not run away from you, but I respect you. The second back. Whoa. They bark and breathe. I stayed there until my uncle noticed that the dog was barking. And checked from the front porch. Who is there? I said, it's me, sir. My name is Fred Akiola Elegbe. It's Professor Elegbe. I'm Elegbe to you. He's an Elegbe. Yeah, I'm not an armed robber. Then he called his security guard too. He said, come in. I said, sir, I can't come in. No. Come in. That's a dog. Not a lion. The Bible testifies in Proverbs 30, verses 29 to 30, there be 3 things that go well. Yea, 4, are comely in going. Number 1, the lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away from any. Daniel went to the lion's den with the understanding that God is the only one that must be worshipped, and is the only one that we pray to. Psalm 65, verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 116 and verse 2. Check it out for me. New Living Translation. It said, because he bends down to listen. Thank you. 116 and verse 2. Give me NLT. Yeah. Because he bends down to listen. I will pray as long as I have breath. Somebody say, I will pray. That's why you must pray at the end of this service. Understanding. Understanding determines what people do. Number 2, it determines what people don't do. It is not enough what you do, church. It is not enough what you do. What you don't do also counts in the sight of God. And the Bible is very clear on this. You must be intentional about not doing certain things, not going to certain places, and not keeping company with certain people. It is not discrimination. It is understanding your assignment. Can't afford to mess with my assignment. Can't afford to mess with the call of God on my life. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I don't want to keep company with certain people, not because I hate them, not because I'm discriminating, but because of the weight of my assignment. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? The mother of King Lemuel taught him a prophecy. Proverbs 31 and verse 4. Proverbs 31 and verse 4. Give me verse 1 before you go to verse 4. Let's look at the introduction. Proverbs 31, media. Verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Thank God for godly mothers. When you see men who have been well taught by their mothers, you see it in their character. You see it in their behavior. When mothers fail, there is chaos in the land. When fathers fail, there is colossal failure. It's part of the problems that they have in the Western world today, where many fathers are absentee fathers. The concept of single mother, single mama, was never African. It was alien to us. People never used to really divorce and separate back in the day in our culture. I don't know how many families on my street separated or divorced. I don't know. Because families will get involved to ensure that the marriage works somehow. But today we are fully westernized. We even have ladies now who are saying they are not going to get married. They just want to have a baby for someone, for some celebrity, and they want to live their life because they just want to be happy. At the end of the day, you are not going to be happy, baby. Because that is against God's order. That is the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Ayo, if you stand long enough in the way of sinners, what will happen to your legs? If you stand long enough, 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours, what will happen to your legs? Your legs will start aching. And guess what you want to do next? You want to request a seat. Nor sitteth in the seat of discomfort. God said, don't even smell it. Otherwise, you will taste it and you will feed on it. And it's going to poison your soul. Blessed is the man that walketh not. What he doesn't do, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If they give you a counsel that is ungodly, thank them for it and walk away and go and do what the Bible says to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Proverbs 31 and verse 4. Verse 4. The words of King Lemuel, the mother of King Lemuel. She said, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. It is not for kings. Are you a king? Three people said, yes, sir. Do you know you are a king? Under the new covenant, if you are born again, you are a child of God, do you know you are a king? Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6 tells us that you are a king. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 tells me that you are a king. Let's read Revelation 1, 5 and 6 first. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Did he wash us? In his own blood? He washed us to become slaves. To become what? Kings and priests. Verse 6. And is about to make us kings and priests unto our God. No, he's thinking of how to make us kings and priests unto our God. What has he done? He has already made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can I get an amen to that? Has he made you a king? Are you a king? Are you a priest? Go to Revelation 5:10. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of the Lord be established. Revelation 5:10. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And he's thinking of how to make us. And he's about to make us. We are really very close to being made. What has he done? Come on. Talk to me. He has made us. Now make it personal. He has made me. Who am I? I'm a king. Even though I'm not king in a while, I'm still a king. Glory be to God. I'm a king and priest. And we shall reign on the earth before we go to heaven. Our lives will matter here first. You getting what I'm saying?
That's why when you receive Jesus into your life, he doesn't waste your life. He makes you. Jesus is a maker. He makes you. He makes you. He makes somebody out of a nobody. Makes something meaningful out of a nonentity. People might write you off. Jesus will make you. Make a big story out of your life. A good one at that. The mother of King Lemuel warned him and said, "Something is not for kings that you drink wine." Not only wine, he also warned him about women. We'll come back to that proverb, but let me try and begin to tidy this up. I want to show you another story similar to the warning of the mother of King Lemuel, but this one we'll look at it maybe more extensively. There was a man in the Bible who was a judge in Israel. You know his story. His name was Samson. When Samson was going to be born, before the mother conceived him as a baby, an angel of the Lord appeared to her. The name of her husband was Manoah. The angel said, "You are going to have a baby, but I want to give you instructions. This baby you are going to carry, never you drink wine or beer, any strong drink, because it is going to be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." This story is in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. 13. Did you hear what I said? Glory be to God. He's going to be a Nazarite unto God. And, no. So go further. Same chapter 13, go further. No, go to verse 6. Go to verse 6. Quick, please, quick, quick. Is the system hanging? Walk in the name of Jesus. Now, go to verse 4, rather. This was when she was reporting to the husband. Verse 4. Now, so the angel was talking here. In fact, take it one step behind. Verse 3. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, you are barren, right? So thou art barren and bearest not." So there was a delay. Because a special child was coming. God never comes late. "But Pastor, why is my own late like this? No, because when it arrives, it's going to be the latest. God is a specialist in giving the latest to his children. And I've observed that in my life. There are certain things I don't have when my mates have them, but when my own comes, they look. Now, the angel said, "But thou shalt conceive and bear a son." The next verse, please. "Now, therefore, beware." Somebody say, beware. Now, that beware is be careful. Be careful, careful, careful. An instruction of what not to do. And this woman was a woman of understanding. Understanding determines what you don't do. Not just what you do, but also what you don't do. When you are given a divine instruction, you obey. When they say, don't do this, you don't do it. You don't argue. You simply obey. Our pastor said, don't do this. The lead pastor said, we are coming to pray next Saturday. Prayer starts at 10 a.m. on the dot. If you come at 10, you are too late. Registration starts at 9:30. By 10, the doors will be shut. You come at 10:01, you are already late. It's very difficult to get transport from where I live. You lack understanding. Because if you know what you are going to get from that prayer, you'll be the first to get there. 8 a.m., you'll be there, chilling. Praying in the Holy Ghost 1 hour before registration starts, 1.5 hours. And you won't die. The leaders and I were here yesterday. We prayed 3 hours, 15 minutes. We didn't die. We are still alive, refreshed. After 3 hours, 15 minutes, it was like we had not even started. So the Holy Ghost can strengthen you. Beware. I pray thee. I beg you. Madam, Mrs. Manoah, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Why? Next verse. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He said it before. He said it again. Repetition for emphasis. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He will begin a process. He will be a first mover. He will be a line breaker. He will be a barrier breaker, a line crosser. He will be a pace setter. He will begin to deliver. Why did God care about his hair? About the woman not drinking wine? Why? The word Nazarite is from the Hebrew word Nazir. Somebody said Nazir. N-A-Z-I-R. And you understand that the Hebrew language and Arabic are quite close. You remember Isaac? You remember Ishmael? You remember same father, Abraham? There are certain Hebrew words, when you hear them, they sound like Islamic or Arabic words. For example, shalom. Shalom means peace, right? Peace, peace. In the Islamic or Arabic word, it is salam. Salam. This is salam. Hebrew people say shalom. That's why they got assalam alaikum from. When you meet Arabic people and they greet you, they say assalam alaikum. The Jewish people say shalom. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. That's how they greet. That's peace. There is a word called blessing. In Hebrew, is beraka or baraka. Baraka or beraka. In the Arabic world, they have barakat. So when you see a lady bearing barakat, that name actually means blessing. Nazir is really not supposed to be a name. What it means is consecrated or dedicated unto God. That this one is separated unto God. I have a cousin in my hometown whose name is Nasiru. That guy can drink beer. Oh God. I think he inherited all the anointings of my uncles. My uncles, I come from a family where people drink beer a lot. But I think it just broke on my generation, my head especially. It just broke. Because all the alcohol I was supposed to consume in my life, that I'm supposed to consume in the future, my uncles, my dad, all of them, they consumed everything. I consume the Holy Ghost now. Glory be to God. But that guy, I think there's a mantle that fell on him. The next time I talk to him, I'll preach Christ. He said, "No, sir, but Jesus is here." Because this boy can drink. Let me not be casting my cousin. But this is not nice. So, when somebody is a Nazirite, three things, maybe out of many, but there are certain three features that God gave instructions about. Numbers chapter 6 from verse 1 to the end. Number one, you don't touch their hair. No razor must come on their head. That hair is part of their dedication. It's considered holy. So no barber comes to be, you know, no matter how anointed you are, if you have a barber, they will still touch your head. That's one part of barbing that I don't like. Because I don't like anybody just putting their hand on my head. But my barber, he will put their hand on my head. Don't you know that you are cutting the head of the pastor? Anyway. So they don't touch their hair. Why? At the end of their period of being a Nazirite, because God said, actually even under the old covenant, God didn't force anybody to be a Nazirite. He said to Moses, if any man or woman chooses to be a Nazirite, that is, they want to separate themselves for holy use unto God, then he gave the instructions. Nothing should touch their hair. Because by the end of that period of consecration, that person, that fellow will come to the door of the tabernacle. The priest will now be the one to shave the hair, and they will bring that hair to the altar. It's going to be part of the offering that will be made unto God, peace offering. They will put it in the fire. So it's not the kind of hair you just cut and take anywhere. God gave the instruction, nobody touches their hair. So until it forms locks, what you now call dreadlocks, their own dreadlocks as Nazirites was natural. So Samson was one of them. But in the case of Samson, God chose him from the womb. Glory be to God. Does that sound like you? From your mother's womb, he chose you. The others, out of volition, God didn't force them. Number two, God said they must not drink wine. Why wine? Why strong drink? Why did God care? Today, people say God doesn't care. You can be born again, sharp wine, red wine. It's very good. It's good for the heart. But God used to care. Hello? Hello, church? Hello, church? Because today, it's not only boys that are drinking. Even girls are drinking. In fact, I'm told that some ladies are consuming more alcohol than guys. If God used to care, what changed? Ask God the next time you see him. Number three, they must not touch an unclean thing, e.g. a dead body. Even if a family member dies, they must not touch the corpse because they are consecrated unto God. These were the instructions given to every Nazirite. And God said to the mother of Samson, don't do these things through the angel. When you get home, you can read the entire chapter of Judges chapter 13. But brother Samson grew up and began to be used mightily of God. I think someday I need to preach on Samson. If I ask you, describe Samson. Can you give me, anybody? Give me a description of Samson. Anybody? Yeah? I want you to stand up and tell me. Tell me what you think Samson looked like. Yeah, Ayo, you're talking. So tell me. Talk to me. Don't talk to him. Talk to me. What do you think Samson looked like? Quick, quick. Get up, man. Talk to me. That's my guy. By what we're told. Big guy. How about his height? Like your height? Or taller than you? Yeah? Because the guy could beat up the whole town. And it takes a muscular guy to be able to do that, right? I mean, you see him and say, man, this is Hulk Hogan. Thank you. Sit down. So that's from my book of Bible stories. But that description does not fit Samson. Thank you, Ayo. You tried. I thought like that too. If you read the book of Judges, so this prophecy was chapter 13. In chapter 16, from chapter 14 actually, he got married. Read the whole of chapter 15. He fought people. He killed, in chapter 15, he killed 1,000 soldiers with just one jawbone of an ass. And maybe you didn't know that Samson was a man of prayer. After he killed 1,000 soldiers with the jawbone of an ass, he became thirsty. And he began to cry to God, will you let thirst kill me after killing the enemies? And the Bible says that God paved the way for him. Water came out from a place, a stream. And he named, and he drank, when his spirit revived, he named that place En Hakkore, which is at Lehi till today. En Hakkore means the stream of him that prayed. Samson got a stream of water through prayer. You can get a stream of ideas through prayer. If Samson functioned under the old covenant, and you function under a new and better covenant, you can have more results than Samson. Can I have an amen? But Samson was not a very disciplined Nazirite. He was messing around with women. One particular chapter, I think chapter 14 it is, in the first verse, he loved a woman at somewhere. He went to a prostitute, and then about four verses after, when he went to a prostitute, all the men in the city gathered together and said, tonight we'll catch him. Tonight we shall catch him. He's now the Philistines. The Bible says Samson got up in the dead of the night. He went to the city gate. He pulled it with bare hands. That's why you would think he must be very muscular. And he took the bars and the iron and put it on his shoulder and went up to a hill, mountaintop, to drop it. That's the proverb. You want to fight me? Wait. He went to the city gate. Pulled it out. City gate. Watch those films, those movies that show ancient times. City gates were huge. They were raw iron. It's not aluminium. It's not alu that you use in these days and time. We're talking about raw metal. If the beam only falls on your head, it can break somebody's head. Samson shook it. This guy was no normal. The gate to your house, can you shake it and remove it and put it on your shoulder? City gate. Somebody getting what I'm saying? There was something supernatural here. But they didn't know. They kept looking at him from the natural. Paul said, henceforth know we, no man after the flesh. If you keep relating to people based on what you know about them, because they're your brother, your sister, your kinnik, you will miss out what they carry. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Samson carried everything, put on his shoulder. I thought if you carry heavy weight, you should descend. It will be a lot easier, right? He went to the mountain. He climbed the mountain top. Mountain, no staircase. And there was no record that any of those things fell down. What kind of man is this? That was why they hired Delilah. In the natural, Samson did not look like a strong man. In the natural, he was like me, like you. Those of us who don't go to gym. But I go to the spiritual gym. Glory be to God. But it's good to go to physical gym as well. Physical exercise profits little, but little is much when God is in it. Samson, they could not understand him. Every time they thought they would finish him, they would kill him, he would kill them. Ah! There must be something about this guy. That was why the only assignment given Delilah was find out the secret of his strength. His strength was secret, sir. If he was huge, from my book of Bible stories, you see a man whose chest is like Olumorok. Does it make sense to be asking, what is the secret of his strength? If your sister comes to call you at home, somebody slap me. He's a stupid guy. Come and beat him. They say, oh, slap my sister. Wait for me. You wear your shirt. Let's go there. You get there. And the guy is standing in front of your house. His chest is the mountain. And all he does is just this. And his t-shirt tears out. Prah, prah. From muscle flexing. What will you say? Ah, you'll be honest. You say, Uncle, we really love you in this family. Her mouth is too sharp. My sister's mouth is too sharp. I know. Uncle, you can never, someone like you, a responsible man like you, will be beating a small girl. You didn't beat her. You only trained her. Thank you, sir. Because this guy can hold you with one hand and your legs will be dangling in the air. You know what I'm talking about? If Samson was like that, they didn't need to hire a woman to find out. Get that scripture out for me, please. The secret of his strength. Judges 16 and verse 5. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her. You know why? Because according to verse 4, Samson went down to the valley of Sorek and loved a woman. Give me verse 1 first. Aubrey. Verse 1, everybody, let's see. Then went Samson to Gezer, this same Gezer, and saw there an Olosho, and went in unto her. You know what that means? He didn't just go into her room and then came out. He went in and came out not being innocent. Verse 1. Go to verse 4. Brother, why? And it came to pass afterward. After that. Okay, let's even read the verses. Let's read the verses and then I'm going to stop. Look, go to verse 2. When they went into the harlot, then, and it was told the Gezites, saying, Samson is come hither. Samson has come. He has come. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. We go kill him today. He don't enter, go meet Olosho. By the time he comes out, he'll be weak. Even if he's a strong man, he'll be weak. All right? And laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quite. Shh. 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 They were quiet all night. Do you think somebody dozed off? All night. Fathers of children. Husbands of women. Somebody's sons. They stayed awake all night because of one man. One man. How powerful could this woman be? The whole city. All the men in the city. Oh no, their wives will be laughing at them. Hey, Beleo. And you call yourself men. And you're calling here. All of you gather together. You could not catch one man. All of you. There's no pandadian for you. Henceforth in this house. If you can't eat a bar, take it like that. Okay, go and sleep. They're calling men. You are coming out. Samson messed them up. You better be careful before you start flexing. I'm a man. You better be careful. So they don't deflate you. They were quiet all night saying, in the morning, in the morning, when it is day, we shall what? They were not planning to arrest him. They wanted to kill him. Next verse. And Samson lay till midnight. When he was ready, he said, all right. Well, Olushu of Gaza. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Mercy, Lord. Man, when we get to heaven, I'll personally go to Samson and say, Brother Samson, because that guy made it. He made it to heaven. If you go to Hebrews and chapter 12, you go to the gallery of faith. Samson's name was mentioned there. Glory be to God. Now, that is not a license to go and be sleeping around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like, after all, Samson made it. Samson lay till midnight. Let me stop preaching here today. Eh? What? Let's stand. Let's share the grace. You people like gist though. But the gist is in your Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible is interesting when you read it with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It will begin to show you things. He lay till midnight and arose at midnight. And he went straight for the doors of the gate of the city gate. All the men were there. They were watching him. Quiet. They turned off all the lights. They saw him as he was going. He went straight to, he knew they were there. He was a supernatural man. He went to the city gate just to send a proverb to them. And he was very wise. He gave his parents a riddle. It was tough for them to even unravel it. He was a man of prayer. That is not usually emphasized about Samson. This weakness is usually emphasized. Because the weakness you don't deal with will eventually deal with you. He dealt with him. That's why we need to pray, Lord, give me understanding. This message is talking to me, talking to you, talking to all of us. Are you getting what I'm saying? As long as you're a Christian, we have an adversary, the devil, who wants us to fall. We have the flesh that wants us to fall, that doesn't want us to get there. But we will make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Samson went to the city gate, and the Bible says he took.
Oh God.
He took this. He took the city gate. The Bible didn't say he carried, it said he took. He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, the beams of concrete and iron, a mixture, he took. And what did he do? And went away with them, and they were looking. So, one of them, go and meet him. Go and meet him. Yeah. I'm going to shoot him. An abnormal man. This is an abnormal man. Can a normal man go and take city gate? And he took the post. And what did he do? He went away with them. And he get more. 1 year, they will still be contributing money to do another city gate. He took it. And went away with them. The Bible says, bar. Somebody say, bar. and all. He took everything, bar and all, and put them, he took and put. The Bible didn't say, he didn't even say he carried. He said he took and put. Oh God, Vicorum. And put them upon his shoulders and carried them. Carried now. Everything now together. Carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. They were looking at him as he was going up, 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 up. They opened their mouth. They could not close. Ekwesu! 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 Esulele! Esu babayo! This guy is a devil. He's a devil. The men were crying. They were crying for themselves. Say, Shebi, you are the captain. You are the chairman of Landlord Association. Go and fight him. Go and collect our gate. To even bring back their gate was trouble. Who will go up the mountain to bring down the gate? He just showed them a sign. You know when somebody wants to fight you? And first of all, he faces the wall. Pa, 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 and the wall break. Brr. He said, how far? Man, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in Mokola. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody wants to fight you. He brings out a bottle, breaks it on his own head. Boom! You go wait. He broke a bottle on his own head.
Sherry, actually.
Iri, you run. That was what it's called, Aroko in Yoruba. Aroko fun won ni. It was a proverb, like. Oyana. Terry, see now. And then the men started advising themselves, go on another. You're the crazy. How you go further? Go and face him. You beat him fine. You beat him fine now. You find one more guy. You beat him last year. Go and face him now. Your father. Make, man. If I be like Samson. But let me tell you something. So we're going to wrap this up. Next verse. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward, Egbon loved a woman. You know, he took the gate to the top of the mountain. Then he now came down to the valley of Sorek. As he was coming down to the valley of Sorek, the first thing on his mind, he loved a woman. He just left the house of one Olosho of Gaza. Drama. Do a film production on this one. It will sell. It will go viral. Olosho of Gaza. That woman must be so olosious that Samson marked her out and went into her, and the whole city knew that Samson went there. Who gave them the information? And there was no social media. No live streaming. So anyway, he went down to the valley of Sorek, and there he loved the woman. Now he now loved the wrong woman. He had been loving wrong women. This one now, the wrongest. Her name was Delilah. Next week, I'll be asking you, in fact, let me ask you in advance, are there lessons that could be learned, not just from the life of Samson, but even from the life of Delilah? Are there things that we can learn? Because understanding does not only determine what you do, also determines what you don't do. And I really think I want to talk to you guys next week. And the Lord of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, they came to Delilah and said to Delilah, entice him. Don't fight him. Entice him. Befriend him. He already loves you. Make your home comfortable for him. And see, you have only one assignment. Wherein his great, not just his strength, his great strength lieth. Because they had tried everything to know the source of his strength, they could not tell. He didn't look it. When the Lord Jesus came, he had no comeliness that we should desire him. He was born in a manger. He grew up as a carpenter. It was difficult for the Jews to say that he was the Messiah. Till today, some Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Because God uses the best things of this world, the things that are despised, to confound the things that we celebrate. Must be tall, dark, and handsome. Big biceps. God wasn't there. There was a loud thunder. God was not there. There was a fire. God was not there. There was a wind and God was not there. Until there was a still, small voice. May you be sensitive to the Holy Ghost this season. In the name of Jesus. When God brings helpers of destiny your way, may you know them. May you be sensitive enough to treat them well. In the name of Jesus. Some people have maltreated the helpers of their destiny. They have insulted them because they didn't look it. The house help of the leprous army general. Remember his name in the book of Kings? Naaman. He was a leper. Who would have thought that his deliverance would come from the information supplied by the house girl of an army general? Now nobody dared to look in the face. Army generals don't give advice, they command. Get up! You get up. Get up! Get up! Kill yourself! Kill yourself! Have you watched the mafia films? When you watch those mafia movies, those godfathers, Capo di Tutti Capi, the head of everything. Capo di Tutti, the head, no. Capo di Tutti Capi is the head of all heads. Under him, he has heads, HOMs. Those are Capo di Tutti, head of everything. Capo, head. When the Capo di Tutti Capi looks at you, Salvatore, and says, Salvatore, I told you to kill Fernandez, but you wounded him. His eyes are still blue. I went to the hospital to visit him. His eyes are still blue. I can tell you, Salvatore is already win-win in his pants because he knows. The next thing, Salvatore, kill yourself. And he takes a gun because if he doesn't kill himself, there are 25 guns already pointing at him in the same room. He's already hearing. So he has to kill himself. See how organized the satanic kingdom is. How much more the kingdom of our God? I pray for you again. May you not miss your helper. Amen. Go back to my scripture, please. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. I thought we'd close at 11. This is 11:25. You guys took my time. Okay, but let me wrap it up here. Please give me that scripture. I don't want to go back to my Bible, so I don't waste time. I want us to pray. Glory be. Have you been blessed this morning? Please, is somebody learning something? I really love you guys. That's why I take time sharing God's word. I spend quality time in the presence of the Lord to understand his mind for the moment. So please, just bear with me a few minutes. I respect your time, but bear with me that I'm doing this for you. I want us to grow together. They said, find out where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him. Find out his strength. Find out how to undo him. Hey. How to undo you, may the devil never know. Yeah. It's one of the things that begins to happen when we stop praying, when we stop reading the Bible, when we are taking a break from God. Satan knows it's the undoing generally of believers. Find out, so that we may bind him to afflict him. Affliction will not arise again in your life in the name of Jesus. And we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver, 1,100 pieces of silver each. And I don't know how many the lords of the Philistines were. This babe, Delilah, was going to be rich overnight. We promise you. Name your price. She had never seen that kind of money before. 1,100. That moment, she became a hired assassin. a hired assassin. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us understanding. Help us to keep company with the right people. Help us to detach ourselves from the wrong people who come as friends, but they come to steal our soul. In the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet, everybody. Samson looked ordinary. That was why they had to hire a woman. He didn't look muscular. It's not the dreadlock guy with all the muscles that you see on the street and she's the dream of every woman. Meh, see this guy. No. He was normal. Why was he even going to a prostitute? He probably wasn't attractive to the babes in town. And in there to do the do, went into a prostitute, even though he had a wife. But he carried something that would deliver nations, deliver Israel. Guys, listen to me. You carry something that will deliver generations. You carry something that will deliver your family. You carry something that will deliver your school. You carry something that will deliver this country. You carry a treasure. And I pray you will not make a shipwreck of your faith. In the name of Jesus. Everybody pray. Say, Lord, give me understanding. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. 1 minute. Palabasta karabahaya. Malagada balalabahaya. This prayer will dovetail into the prayer of the end of the service. So as we are praying now, we've started praying. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is going to be our prayer today. Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.